وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Today's talk will be about the farewell ceremony, the speech that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم gave in his first and last Hajj that he made. In this ceremony, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam emphasized very important things which the Muslim have to know and have to grasp on. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam emphasized in this hadith the awareness and the fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Muslim must be all the time aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, aware of His presence by His knowledge and His hearing and seeing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us wherever we are. He knows what we do, He sees what we do, He hears what we say and whisper, He knows everything that goes in our minds, all our thoughts. He knows the blink of an eye, and He sees everything that we do, and that He hears everything that we say. To be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the soul of our religion, because being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means to know Him and to love Him and to fear Him and to be so that we are in a position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us wherever we are, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above His throne, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in His book. But He is with us wherever we are by His knowledge and by His hearing and by His seeing. So the Muslim must be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever he is. And that means he should obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoid disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this hadith also, in this ceremony, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized the prayers, and he mentioned the prayers more than one time in this ceremony to show the importance of the prayers, and that the prayers are of great importance in Islam, and that all actions are attached to accepting our prayers. If our prayers are accepted, then our actions will be accepted. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he gave the speech, he told the people that all the blood that have been shed amongst you and all the wealth is sacred. So your blood is sacred and your wealth is sacred, just like this day that I am delivering the speech to you is sacred. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered the speech on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, that is the first day of Eid. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave that speech on the day of Arafah, which is the day previous to the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized that all the Muslims' blood is sacred and all their wealth is sacred as that day was sacred. And he said it is as sacred as this day which is in this month, which is the month of Dhul-Hijjah, which is considered one of the sacred months in Islam. And then he said, and as sacred as this country is, which was Mecca, which is the most sacred place of all other places. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that everything which was an issue from the ignorance time is under my foot, showing that all issues of ignorance time are abandoned in Islam. Nothing of the ignorance time which is against Islam should be acted upon anymore. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said all the blood that have been shed in the ignorance time are cancelled, and there is no revenge for any of this blood. And then he said, the first blood that I cancel is the blood of the son of Rabi'ah ibn al-Harith. And then he said, all the usury, what they call now the interest, all the usury of the ignorance time is cancelled. And then he said, the first usury that I cancel is the usury of Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib, his uncle, because in the ignorance time, Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was dealing with the usury or the interest. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, be aware of Allah regarding your women. Then he said, because you have taken them by the oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentioned that their duty is that they become obedient to you and they don't let anyone foreign come into your home. So if they do so, then you can beat them not to the degree that you hurt them. And then your duty towards them is that you provide for them all the necessary all the necessities. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have left amongst you what if you stick with, you will never go astray, and that is the Book of Allah. Then he said, you will be asked about me, meaning in the Day of Judgment, so what would you say? They said, we will witness that you have fully delivered what Allah have ordered you, and you have fully advised us. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his finger and he said, O Allah, pointing to heavens, O Allah, be a witness on them. O Allah, be a witness on them. O Allah, be a witness on them. He said that three times. Now in this speech, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the beginning of his speech has emphasized a very important issue, the fact that the blood of all Muslims and their wealth is so sacred, just like the sacredness of that day which he gave the speech, which is the day of Arafah, and in that month which is Dhul Hijjah, and in that place which was Mecca. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was emphasizing the sacredness of this matter, that the Muslims should be very careful regarding their souls and their bloods. No Muslim should dare to shed the blood of a Muslim with no cause. Actually, in a true hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that one handful of blood from a Muslim could block someone from entering paradise. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasizes in this hadith that the blood of the Muslim is sacred, and that no Muslim should dare to shed the blood of another Muslim. And also his wealth is sacred. No Muslim should dare to take the other Muslim's wealth with no cause, or without a just cause. So this is something that all Muslims must clearly know and understand, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at his last speech in the farewell ceremony emphasized this issue, and he started with this issue, and he emphasized it so much that he said, it is so sacred, like the sacredness of this day, in this month, in this country, to show the sacredness of the Muslim's blood and wealth. Therefore, no Muslim should take this matter easy, and no Muslim should understand that he has, or it is easy for him to hurt another Muslim or to shed his blood. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in a true hadith that he who points with a weapon to another Muslim, then he is not one of us, meaning that the Muslim, the true Muslim, should not even point the weapon to another Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also emphasized in a true hadith that you cannot point even any piece of metal to another Muslim. And he also showed in another hadith that you cannot scare any Muslim by any means, by any way. You have no right to scare any Muslim or to frighten him in one way or another. So from all those hadiths, we see clearly that this matter must be taken seriously into the consideration of the Muslim, and that it is part of our faith that the blood and wealth of all Muslims are sacred. So when Muslims deal with each other, they must be very careful about this thing. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith shows that all matters of the ignorance time are cancelled. He said, all matters of the ignorance time are under my foot, meaning that they have no value. They must be ignored. They must be insulted. Everything from the ignorance time, which is against Islam, must be disregarded, must be completely avoided. There were so many issues of the ignorance time. For example, worshipping others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the worst thing that the people in the ignorance time had. They were worshipping stones and idols, and some of them were worshipping angels, and some of them were worshipping pious people. They were taking them as mediators between them and Allah. So this was considered to be worshipping them. So this is an issue of the ignorance time. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that all issues of the ignorance time are under my foot. And this issue is especially the issue that the Muslim must consider to be something which is completely against Islam. And actually, the Muslims nowadays, or the so-called Muslims nowadays in many Muslim countries, fall into this great crime of the ignorance time. That is, they call upon the awliya, and they call upon people who are dead or alive to do things for them which no one can do but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find them also that they sacrifice for other than Allah, and they do many worships which is of the ignorance time. We will continue this hadith next time inshaAllah. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Of the farewell speech of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم which he gave in the on the day of Arafah in his Hajj. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم emphasized in the beginning of this hadith that all matters of the ignorance time are under his foot, meaning that all matters of the ignorance time, at the time of Jahiliyyah, those matters which opposed to Islam must be disregarded and must be insulted and not taken into consideration. They have no value to the Muslim. And we mentioned that the first thing which is a matter of the ignorance time was the shirk, to associate partners with Allah in worship. And I also mentioned that in our age nowadays, so-called Muslims in many Muslim countries worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by calling upon the awliya and by sacrificing animals for them, and by seeking the blessing in the dust of their graves, and so on and so forth. All these issues are issues of the ignorance time. The Muslim has nothing to do with those things. And Islam has came to free us from all forms of shirk, and those are all forms of shirk, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also an issue of ignorance time that they had at their time, which was to obey their desires and to follow their desires. They did not have any revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to follow. They did not receive any revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they were following their desires, they were following their logic, they were following their ancestors, their fathers and grandfathers and so on. They were following their habits and their traditions. Now, the Muslims nowadays, unfortunately, have fallen into this grave mistake, and that is many so-called Muslims give priority to their desires and to their traditions and to what they have inherited from their parents. They give priority to those things, and they go against the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in many situations, because they follow what they think is better, what they think is right. Now, to do this is an issue of ignorance time. As I said, that at the ignorance time, the people did not have any revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not believe in any revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So their way to please Allah was to follow what they think is right, to follow their desires, and to follow what they have inherited from their parents and ancestors, and to follow what their leaders tell them to do. So if we do the same thing, then we will be falling into the same shirk and the same kufr. And this to give priority to orders of our own desire and orders of, which come from leaders or whatever, which contradict the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is shirk and this is kufr. So the Muslim has no right to follow any order which is against the order of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no matter where this order comes from, and no matter how much he thinks that this order is good or is suitable. There is nothing more suitable than the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam for all times. This must be the firm belief of every Muslim. Any Muslim who does not believe that the orders in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam are fit and suitable for all times, then he is not a Muslim. And any Muslim who has any doubt about any order in the Book of Allah or the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is not a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, swearing by himself, said that they will not believe, meaning those people will not be believers until they make you, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sunnah, the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until they make you as a judge in all disputes amongst them, in all matters, all issues. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears that we will not be believers until we make the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the judge, the only judge in all issues, in every matter, regarding all issues of our life. We must make the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the judge in all issues. And no other source can be a source of judgment for the Muslim. Only the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were many things which were of the ignorance time. Consider people by their ranks and by their color and by their how much they have wealth. All those are issues of the ignorance time, which Islam came to cancel and to abandon. Therefore, the Muslims must be aware not to fall into those issues of ignorance time. And unfortunately, almost every issue of the ignorance time is practiced right now by some people who claim to be Muslims. So this is something that is very dangerous, and the Muslims have to be very careful that this religion have cancelled all issues of ignorance. And it is important for us to know those issues of ignorance so that we do not fall into them. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized that all the blood which was shed in the ignorance time has been cancelled. There is no revenge, because this revenge will lead to more bloodshed, and therefore this will lead to chaos and killing in the Muslim society. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about the usury or the riba, what they call nowadays the interest rate. Now, this interest is one form of the usury that exists nowadays. Of course, this issue of riba was an issue of ignorance time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have forbidden riba, and he said that if we do not stop dealing with riba, then we should be warned of a war from Allah and His Messenger, and no Muslim can challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, to avoid the wrath of Allah and to avoid the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Muslims must get rid of all forms of riba in their lives. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in a true hadith that riba, dealing with riba, is one of the seven most severe sins. He mentioned the shirk, which is associating partners with Allah, which is the worst sin. And he mentioned killing, and that is one of the worst sins. And then he mentioned other sins. Amongst them was riba. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that dealing with riba, even as much as one dirham, which is something which is very small, less than half a dollar, or less than maybe less than one riyal, dealing with riba even as much as one dirham is worse than committing 36 fornications. And this is not to show that committing fornication is something easy. Committing fornication is something which is very bad in Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have warned us against committing fornication. And committing fornication is one of the major sins in Islam. But this is to show that riba is worse and more dangerous, because riba is a destruction for the whole society and maybe the whole world. Riba is the cause of destruction of not only community or few individuals, no, but riba is a cause of destruction for the whole society and the whole country, and maybe for all societies. So riba is based on uncompassion, being uncompassionate and being unjust and being transgressors. So this is why Islam have made riba forbidden to that extent. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also showed in a true hadith that riba have many ways. the Prophet ﷺ said riba is 73 branches or something like that. So showing that riba could take many forms, not only one form. And what the banks deal nowadays mostly is riba. The so-called interest is nothing but riba, because at the ignorance time, the merchants were borrowing money from individuals, for example, and they were doing so with an agreement with them that they will give them this much money every month, and the money that they took from them will remain as it is. So they will give them an interest every month. So they take 1,000 riyals from someone, and then they tell him, we'll give you 10 riyals each month, for example, and your money, the 1,000 riyal, will stay with us until we finish our trade, and then we will give you back your money. So this is exactly what the banks nowadays do, and many other institutions do. So the point is that the same riba that was existing at that time is repeated nowadays. The one which exists nowadays could be worse in some points. For example, nowadays those banks take the money from people, and they don't use them for trading. They use them for lending to others by greater amount of interest, and this is even worse than trading in this wealth. We will inshallah finish this issue next time. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. Today's topic will be also a continuation of the farewell speech that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have given to the Muslims in the pilgrimage. We left that speech last time talking about the issue of usury or riba. Usury or riba, what they call nowadays interest. And we mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that all the riba of the ignorance time must be abandoned, must be cancelled. And he said, I start with the riba of my uncle, Al-Abbas. Al-Abbas was a merchant in the ignorance time. And he and some of his companions in trading were borrowing money from people, and they were using this money that they borrow from the people to deal in trade, to buy and sell and so on. Now they would borrow the money from someone, and they will agree with him that they will give him a certain amount of money every month, provided that his money that they borrowed from him will stay as it is until they give it back to, fully to him. So they will give him a certain amount every month, and his money will stay as it is. So this is the same thing that we have nowadays. In the banks, they take your money and they give you a certain percentage every month. They tell you, we give you 6%, 5%, whatever. And your money will stay with them. They will use it. So it is basically the same thing, the same riba. But the riba which exists nowadays in the dealings of the banks is worse. Why? Because the traders at the ignorance time, in the ignorance time, like Al-Abbas and others, they were using the money which they take from me and you in trading, to buy and sell. And that will help the society. But nowadays, the banks, unfortunately, don't use except a small percentage of the wealth that they take from people in tradings. Most of what they take, maybe 90% or more, they use it in lending others with greater percentages. They take the money from you and they give you like 5%, then they lend the money to someone else and they take 12% from him. So it is actually worse than the riba, which was at the time of ignorance. And therefore, the Muslim has to be very careful not to deal with such dealings and not to put his money in any institution which deals with riba, because riba is something which is severely haram in Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a true hadith, may the curse of Allah be upon those who eat from the riba and upon those who make others eat from the riba. So if you yourself take from this so-called interest and use it for yourself, then you are eating from this riba. And if you give it to someone else who will deal with it with interest and riba, then you are making him eat it. And therefore, you will be subject to the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no Muslim would like to be kicked out from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is the meaning of the curse of Allah. So every Muslim have to make sure that he avoids any dealings with riba. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized another issue which is very important in Islam, and this issue is taking care of the woman and being good to the woman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, be aware of Allah regarding your woman. So this point is something which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have emphasized at that day, which shows its importance, because many people unfortunately don't deal with their women in the proper way. They insult them, they don't give them their rights fully, they might beat them unnecessarily, they might cuss at them unnecessarily, they might use the fact that they are weaker than men, and this is against Islam. So the man, the real man in Islam, is the one who is good to his woman. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a true hadith, the best amongst you is the best for his woman. And he said, I am the best for my woman. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions in this hadith clearly that it's a sign of goodness. It's a sign of goodness for the man to be good to his woman. Now, being good to the woman means being good to the wife, being good to the mother, being good to the daughter, to the sister, all women. Also, being good to the woman does not mean that we satisfy their false desires. If a woman desires something which is unlawful, then it is not good to give her what she desires. Being good to the woman means that we treat her in the best way according to the rules of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the woman, for example, the wife, insists to go out of the home uncovered, then it is evil to support her in that. It is not good to support her. It is evil. If she insists on listening to something which is forbidden, unlawful, then it is evil to let her do this. It is not good to do this. So being good to the woman does not mean that we go along with whatever she desires. So we can go along with whatever she desires as long as what she desires is something which is lawful, something which is lawful according to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because many people take lawful what they think is lawful, what is permissible in their society, that is lawful to them, and this is not the situation for a Muslim. This is not the situation for someone who believes that whatever in the Book of Allah is the right thing. So many things in the society which could be acceptable in the society are not necessarily acceptable in Islam. Many societies nowadays accept things which are completely against Islam. So the Muslim has to be aware that he should go along with what is lawful in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as he can, especially in our times where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Islam has started strange and it will come back strange as it started. So in our time, when the Muslim goes by the laws and the rules of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in many societies he might be strange. He might be strange in his actions, he might be strange in his habits, he might be strange in his dress. So this is something which the believer must accept, to be strange. And to be strange is a cause to enter paradise, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Tuba lil ghuraba." Tuba is the reward for the strangers, the ones who feel strange when they go by the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their reward will be Tuba, and Tuba is a place in paradise, a special rank in paradise. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have emphasized that the Muslims must be careful regarding their women, that they should fear Allah and they should not transgress against their women, they should not do any injustice to them. And he mentioned in this hadith that the rights of the woman, or the duties of the woman towards her husband, is that she does not let any stranger come into his home, and that their rights are to treat them fairly and to provide for them the necessities. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have finished his ceremony speech with the most comprehensive and the most important advice by saying that I have left amongst you something that if you stick with, you will never go astray, and that is the Book of Allah. So this was the final statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he made it the final because it is the most important and the most comprehensive. The fact that we must stick to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the solution for all our problems. This is the key to our success. This is the only way that we will be successful in the hereafter and in this life. If we stick to the Book of Allah truly, then we will be successful in the hereafter, and we will go to paradise, and we will not be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we go truly by the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be successful in this life. We will see the might. We will be strong. We will be in peace, and so on. So this is our only way to success in the hereafter and in this life. That is to stick to the Book of Allah. In another narration, through hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have left two things amongst you that if you stick with, you will never go astray. the Book of Allah and my Sunnah. So both those hadiths match each other, because in this hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says you stick to the Book of Allah, and in the other hadith he says you stick to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of my the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, to stick to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam means sticking to the Book of Allah, because first of all, the Book of Allah orders us to stick to the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second thing is, there is no way to stick to the Book of Allah if we don't stick to the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this is the purpose of the Sunnah, to give the detailed meaning of the Book of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was by his Sunnah explaining to the people the orders in the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to stick to the Book of Allah means that one has to stick to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in a true hadith that I have been given the Quran and an equal to it with it, and that is his Sunnah, which is clear in the Book of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have sent down to you both the Book and the Hikmah, meaning the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever the Messenger makes haram, then consider it as Allah has made it haram. And this is also in Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he who obeys the Messenger has obeyed Allah. And this is also in the Quran, that whatever the Messenger gives you, you must follow. And whatever he orders you, you must follow. And whatever he forbids you, you must stay away from. We will finish, inshallah, this hadith next time. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Complete the talk about the farewell speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the speech that he gave in his first and last Hajj, when he was standing in Arafah, on the day of Arafah, and in that speech he emphasized to the Muslims the very important matters that they have to be concerned with. And at the end of this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised the Muslims that they should stick to the Book of Allah, and that is, by doing this they will never go astray. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said in a true hadith that his nation will be divided into groups, and this means that a lot of those groups will be following other than the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that my nation will divide into such and such groups, and that all of them will be in hellfire except one. They said, who is this one? He said, the one which sticks to the to what I and my companions are following. So in this hadith it is very clear that those groups which will not stick to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will go astray, and they will be subject to being punished in the hereafter. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon giving a speech one day, he said that he amongst you who will live longer, he will see differences. Therefore, stick to my Sunnah and to the Sunnah of the companions who will follow me, my companions who will follow me. then he said, be aware of every innovated matter, because every innovated matter is a going astray, and every going astray is in hellfire. So the meaning of this hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us how to be safe from going astray, and how to be safe from going to hellfire, and that is to make sure that at all times we follow the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we can do this by following the path of the companions, because the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah be pleased with them, are the ones who have practiced the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the best way. They have understood the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the best way, and they have acted upon them in the best way. So they are our example. They should be our example. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, he who opposes to the Messenger and follows other than the path of the believers, he will be left alone with what he follows, and he will be tasting the punishment in hellfire. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us not to follow other than the path of the believers. The believers, of course, meaning the believers that were at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, and all the other believers which follow them righteously. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said that all Muslim scholars agree that when the sunnah is clear for a Muslim, then he has no right to follow something else from whoever it might be. So in this saying of a Shafi'i, it is very clear that this is the agreement of all Muslim scholars, that no Muslim has the right to object to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when it is clear for him, that no Muslim has the right to go against the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no Muslim has the right to choose otherwise, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mentioned in his book, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the faithful, male and female, have no choice to follow but what Allah and His Messenger have ordered them. So it is very clear from this verse and from those hadiths that our way to success is to follow the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that if we do otherwise, then we will be subject to going astray, and that we will go astray, and we will be subject to being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, the Muslims have not followed the advice of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam fully, except very few people, or except a small amount of Muslims, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be amongst my nation a group which will be sticking to the truth no matter who differs with them. And this is some good news for us, that in every age there are some Muslims. They could be only one Muslim, or two, or three, or four, but there are some Muslims who will be sticking to the truth, to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the measure of truth. The measure of truth is not what this individual thinks is right and what that individual thinks is right. The measure of truth is whether it is according to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the only measure for the Muslim. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you will be asked about me. He was talking to the companions, telling them that you will be asked about me in the day of judgment. Allah will ask you, So what would you say? So they said, we will witness that you have delivered fully and you have advised us fully in the best way. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have delivered all what Allah have ordered him to deliver. He did not hide anything. He did not keep anything secret. He delivered all the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both the Quran and the Sunnah. As Hassan ibn Atiyah says that Jibreel was coming down to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the Sunnah, just like he was coming down to him with the Quran, and he was teaching him the Sunnah just like he was teaching him the Quran. So the Sunnah was a revelation. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not speak of his own desire. He only speaks of a revelation from Allah. So whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then it is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever he ordered the people to do and whatever he encouraged them to do, then that is by a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course sometimes he was talking the normal talk, which he did not mean to order the people to do this or that, or to recommend something for them. We are not talking about this normal human talk, but whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the people regarding their religion, regarding what brings them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it was a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a true hadith, there is nothing which bring you closer to Allah except that I have told you of, and there is nothing which takes you away from Allah except that I have warned you against. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not leave any room for any addition. There is no room for adding anything to what pleases Allah and what displeases Allah. So everything which pleases Allah has been told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and have been delivered to us, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have promised to preserve the book. He said, we have revealed the book and we will preserve it. And preserving the book means that it will always remain there. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the true hadith, that there will always be a group of my nation sticking to the truth. So this truth is the book of Allah and the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because as we said, the sunnah goes hand in hand with the book of Allah. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have left two things amongst you that if you stick with, you will never go astray: the book of Allah and my sunnah. And then he said, they will never separate. They will never separate until the day of judgment. So to separate the sunnah from the book of Allah is going against the teaching of Islam. And to say that we follow the book of Allah and we don't follow the sunnah, this is against the religion of Islam, and it is against the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have foretold us about this thing, that a group of people will come. They will be in such a position that when they are reminded to follow the order of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say, we don't know this order. We only know what is in the book of Allah. We will follow what we find in the book of Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this hadith that whatever the messenger makes unlawful, then you must consider it as being unlawful, as being made unlawful by Allah. And he said also in this hadith that I have been given the book, meaning the Quran, and an equal to it with it, and an equal to it, which is the Sunnah. It is equal to the book in regards to our obligation towards it. We must follow it just like we follow Quran. and we must abide by it just like we abide by Quran, because they are both revelations from Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that we have revealed to you the book and the hikmah, meaning the sunnah or the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the companions what they would say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, we will witness that you have fully delivered and that you have fully advised us. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed his finger to the heavens saying, O Allah, be a witness on them. He did this three times. Now, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam points his finger to the heavens, he is pointing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all things. He is above his throne. And the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a huge creature. If we compare all the heavens and all the earth to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be smaller than a piece of metal compared to a whole desert. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is up in heavens, up above his throne. There are no creation which surround him whatsoever, because he is bigger than everything else and he is greater and mightier than everything else. This is our belief, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in his book that you must fear the one who is in heaven and you must fear the one who is above you. And inshallah, next time we will finish this issue. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. Continue the last part of the farewell speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he gave on the day of Arafah in his first and last Hajj. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon finishing his speech to the companions, he asked them, "What would you be saying to Allah if you are asked about me?" They said, we will witness that you have fully delivered what you were ordered to us and that you have fully advised us. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed his finger to the heavens saying, O Allah, O my Lord, be a witness on them. He did that three times. So upon pointing to heavens, This shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in heavens. He is above the throne. And this is the belief of the Muslims, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book in more than seven places that he has risen upon his throne, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have established above the throne, or have been have raised upon the throne. So this is the belief of the Muslims, and actually this is the belief of the Jews and Christians. When they make dua, when they call upon their Lord, they raise their hands. This is because they believe that Allah is above them, and this is the only suitable belief for the Muslim to believe. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us wherever we are, He is with us by His knowledge and by His hearing and by His seeing. No one can escape Allah's knowledge or seeing or hearing. He can see whatever we do wherever we are. He can hear whatever we say wherever we are. He can hear our whispers. Also, no one can escape His might and His power. So this is the meaning of the fact that Allah is with us wherever we are. But no Muslim should believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by himself is with us on this earth, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by himself is surrounded by any sky or any heavens. This is not the belief of the Muslims. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above his throne, and that he is above everything. No creature can surround Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No heavens can take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is above all creatures, and he is above his greatest creature, and that is the throne. This is our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam raised his finger to the heavens, this shows that this thing is something of our faith. Also, there is another true hadith in Sahih Muslim also, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked a slave woman, where is Allah? And she could not speak Arabic, so she pointed to heaven. She said, up. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told the person who owned this slave woman to free her, because he have done something wrong against her. He has beaten her without a just cause. So he wanted to make up for his mistake. So he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before ordering him to free her, he asked her, where is Allah? She said, Allah is up there. And then he asked her, who am I? She said, you are the messenger of Allah. So he told him, free her. She is a faithful woman. So the fact that she is a faithful woman means that this is part of the faith, to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is up in heavens. And this is very clear in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As I said in the beginning, there are 7 verses in Quran which mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rose upon his throne. Now, when Allah rises upon his throne, we do not imagine how he rises. We do not ask about the details of this thing. We only believe in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we do not think that we can reach any result if we imagine this thing, because it is beyond our imagination. All descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are beyond our imagination. No Muslim has the right to imagine how Allah is, how his hands are, how his face is, how his rising upon his throne is, and so on. We only have to believe in those attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to believe in them in such a way that we do not resemble them to the attributes of the creatures. So we know that the humans rise upon the car, rise upon the table, rise upon the horse, and so on. And when we describe the rising of a human, it is because we see this kind of rising, and we can imagine it, because he's a human like us, or he's a creature like us. But when it comes to the Creator, when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no example for Allah amongst us. He is the only Creator, and everything else is nothing but a creature. So we cannot resemble Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his creatures, and we cannot imagine his descriptions to be like our descriptions. This is completely false, and this is against the faith of Islam. Anyone who resembles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his creatures, then he is going directly against the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing unto like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this must be very clear. But this should not mean that we take the words out of context, like the innovators do when they come to the descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are mentioned in the Book of Allah and in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They take the words out of their true context. They change the meaning of the words. And this is against the Book of Allah and against the faith of Islam to do this. And actually those who do this, they did this because it came to their minds that this description in this verse or in this hadith resembles the description in us. So because they imagined the resemblance, they had to change the meaning. If they were glorifying Allah from the beginning, if they were not imagining this kind of resemblance, they would not have to change the meaning of those words, because the Muslim believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most glorious, has no equal and has no rival and has no one who resembles him in any way. So there is no reason for us to imagine the descriptions of the creatures when we hear about the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we hear about the hands of Allah, we have no right to imagine my hands and your hands, because there is no point of equality, there is no point of resemblance, because we are describing the Creator and we cannot resemble the Creator to the creature. Now, also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of his wives, Zainab radiallahu anha, when she was arguing with some women of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she told them that you have been married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by your parents. Your parents have ordered you, or your parents have made this marriage, but I have been married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the order of Allah from above his heavens, because Zainab was a special case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have ordered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to marry her after Zayd divorces her. And of course Zayd was called Zayd the son of Muhammad at the ignorance time. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you must be named after your father, Zayd ibn Haritha. And it was a habit in the ignorance time that someone cannot marry the woman of the son who is attached to him by name only. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to cancel this tradition, which was a false tradition. So he ordered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to marry Zainab after Zayd divorces her. Now, of course, in this story, we understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only followed the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to marry Zainab after Zayd divorces her, and not like what the Orientalists say in their books, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to marry Zainab because he thought that she is beautiful and therefore he wanted to marry her. All those false stories that the enemies of Islam spread in their books are because of their envy for Islam and for the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And due to their envy and due to their jealousy, they make up such stories and spread such false stories, which might exist in some unknown books, because there are many narrations in history which have not been checked by the scholars. And in Islam, all narrations must be checked, and every man in the sequence of narration must be known. Otherwise, this narration is of no value. It is not like other religions where they follow the text without even any narration or any sequence of narrators. They, most of their texts or all their texts which they follow have no sequence of narrations of narrators whatsoever. They just follow the text which is said to be narrated by such and such prophet or such and such pious man. But in Islam, for every narration which is attached to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or even to any of his companions or any of the students of the companions, those narrations have a sequence of narrators that must be followed. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.